Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Well, we are doing it again. We had such a great response to our COVID killer cover-up story that we did last week. A lot of people wanted to hear more interesting stories about interesting cases that maybe didn't get the attention they deserved. Now, today's story was picked by Julie, a member of the Crime Talk staff here, and she grew up going to her parents' mountain house every other weekend in Townsend, Vermont. Their house is set back from the main county road and has only five houses on the road. Julie was in the fourth grade when the news broke about their 73 and 78-year-old neighbors. According to public records, in 2019, Vermont had the lowest total number of homicides in the United States. Vermont is the second least populated state in the United States, with around 625,000 people, and is known basically for its green mountains, ski resorts, and covered bridges. Townsend, Vermont is a small town in the southern third of Vermont. The population is around 1,200 people. Townsend is home to the Grace Cottage Hospital, which has just 19 beds, and the Townsend Dam and Townsend State Park, which locals like to fish for smallmouth bass and trout in. Leland and Gray is Townsend's Union Middle School and High School, combining five towns, and has just 273 students. Other than the 1998 film Funny Farm with Chevy Chase being filmed here, not much happens in Townsend, Vermont. Robert and Hope Schreiner lived off Route 30 on a nice rolling hill in a nice plot of land. The couple was originally from Claverack, New York. Robert was a landscape architect and Hope was a nurse. Robert had three children from a previous marriage, and Hope had five children from her previous marriage. Robert and Hope had one child together. They had been married for 43 years. The Schreiners moved to the small town of Townsend, Vermont, and started to settle into retirement. Robert had many ailments, however. He suffered from a near-fatal car accident 30 years before, which left him to struggle with mobility. He also lost a lung to lung cancer and suffered from chronic pneumonia and glaucoma. Hope, 71 at the time, started having an affair with 77-year-old Donald Burrett. The relationship lasted about 3 months, and the two met up every few weeks to fool around. Hope wanted the relationship to go to the next level and asked Donald if it was possible if her husband, Robert, was out of the picture. Donald responded that he did not think they were compatible enough. Robert and Hope tried to mend their relationship over the next few years. They bought a plot of land up the street, directly across from Julie's parents' house, coincidentally. The couple planned to build a new home on that piece of land. On June 2, 2004, Hope called 911 saying she found her husband bleeding to death in their driveway. On the call, you can hear Hope saying, "I don't see his chest moving. There's blood coming out of his nose. It looks like he fell." The 911 dispatcher told Hope to ask if he was okay. Hope said, "He's not responding." When emergency responders made it to the Schreiner's home, Robert was dead on the scene. The 78-year-old was clearly beaten as he had several head wounds. The EMTs suspected foul play after they observed how much blood was spewed across the driveway, and they notified the police. The emergency responders also reported that the blood was dried and that Robert had been dead in the driveway for 2 to 3 hours before Hope called for help. The medical examiner determined that the cause of death was blunt force trauma. The examiner also said Robert had ingested about 7 10-milligram pills of Ambien, a sleeping aid, that same day, an unusually high amount. Days after Robert died, Hope saw her friend Luann Beckman. Luann had expressed concern about a possible murderer running around in their quiet rural town, to which Hope whispered calmly, "Don't worry, I did it." Hope then confessed to her neighbor, Diana Wichland, saying, quote, "I just snapped. I put sleeping pills in his coffee," end quote. Diana said, Hope rambled on about going to play tennis and upon returning home. Robert had not died yet. Hope also mentioned to Diana something about there being so much blood and that she used a bag. Detectives searched the Shriners' house again and found bags covered in Robert's blood hidden in the basement inside a bag of dog food. According to the Rutland Herald, a local newspaper, Susanna Palmer also had spoken to Hope days after Robert died. In the days leading up to his death, Hope said to Susanna, "I want to get rid of my husband." Susanna laughed awkwardly, not knowing how to react, and asked, "What do you mean? Are you going to poison him?" Susanna said Hope looked her right in the eye and said, "Yes, no. I just want him to get into the VA in Bennington." Detectives arrested Hope the day after Robert's funeral. She was charged with first-degree murder. Robert's son from his first marriage believed that Hope was the killer, but the rest of the family was on Hope's side. Hope lived in the home both she and Robert lived in until her trial in March of 2006. Julie and her father saw Hope walking her two labs around the neighborhood a few times and used to wave hello to Julie's father. Hope's daughter, Stephanie Street, testified that her mother confessed to her that she wanted to start a new life. Stephanie also testified that she asked her mother how Robert ended up in the driveway, to which Hope responded, "I can't tell you." Hope's defense attorneys argued that the police just made Hope their suspect because the police completely botched the investigation, contaminating evidence, and letting non-law enforcement and medical personnel on the crime scene. The medical examiner testified that there had been a large amount of Ambien in Robert's system at the time of his death. Detectives said they found bottles of Ambien inside the home, which was prescribed on May 20th of 2004. Because Hope was supposed to take one pill a day, that would mean there should have been 17 pills left. But when they found the pill bottle, it only had 10 of the 30 pills remaining. Although Hope did not testify, the jury was shown taped interviews with the police with Hope. Hope described her husband, Robert, as a hard man to know, and that his series of medical problems over the years had really taken a toll on him. She also stated her husband had been a heavy drinker for many years following his near-fatal car accident almost 35 years ago. She said he was impatient, would often yell at her, and that it was getting worse as he got older. Sergeant Robert McCarthy, a murder investigator for the Vermont State Police, said he noticed unusual behavior from Hope when he asked her to leave her home so the forensic team could come in. McCarthy said Hope placed a bloody towel in the washing machine and tried cleaning off her shoes in the sink. McCarthy said there was no time to do this and told her to stop. On cross-examination by Hope's defense attorney, McCarthy said he did not know who did the first sweep of the Shriner house and that the officer who was inspecting a gun covered in dust in Robert Shriner's closet was not wearing gloves. The medical examiner concluded that Mr. Shriner's death had been caused by blunt force trauma that had resulted in several puncture wounds and marks that showed a wedge-shaped pattern with three prongs. No murder weapon was ever found, though there was testimony concerning a three-pronged rake that was missing from its customary storage place. The jury deliberated 13 hours over a two-day period, and on March 24th, 2006, Hope was found guilty of second-degree murder. She was sentenced to 17 years to life in prison. This made Hope Vermont's oldest female inmate and second oldest inmate in custody. Hope will be eligible for parole in 2023 at the age of 90. All right. Thank you all for listening to our segment today called Murder in Vermont. We hope that you continue to follow us on YouTube. And please do not forget that you can download the audio portion of Crime Talk on any of the popular podcast apps. Join us next time on Crime Talk.